Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Keith.
And I'm Tina.
Keith, what are you doing?
I'm working on my New Year's resolution.
Your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I resolved to read 100 books this year.
So you're reading 2 books at once?
Well, yeah. I have to read at least 2 books a week, so I figure if I do them both at once...
I don't think that's how it works. But anyway, we want to welcome you to Evanston Avenue this morning.
Oh, sorry. We're glad you're here with us, and while our ushers are coming down to collect the offering, we have a few things we want to share with you.
Whether it's your first time here or you've been here for ages, there's a place for you here at Evanston.
That's right, and with more info on how you can get connected, here's Daniel. Now, back to those books.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel. It's a new year, and if you are looking to try something new or get involved again after the break, then we have the perfect next step for you here at Evanston. If you're a kid in 5th grade or below, then you are definitely going to want to check out Bible Times Club, Sunday nights at 6, downstairs with Mr. Darren and his crew. Mr. Darren puts together some really cool activities, games, and Bible studies built just for you guys. You can talk to him to get more information. For everyone in 6th through 12th grade, then you want to head upstairs on Sunday nights at 6 to join Joy and her team for Hype. We have a ton of fun with worship, Bible studies, and some really great adventures. Due to winter retreats, we will not be meeting January 14th or the 28th. Check with Miss Joy if you have any questions. Finally, for you adults, we have a number of ways to get connected with our men's and women's Bible studies and our monthly fellowship dinners. Or, if you want to try something new, you can check out our life groups. We have 3 new life groups opening up this month, so talk to Pastor Matt, Jonathan, or Jeremy for more information. So there you go. No matter where you're at in your journey, there's a next step for you here at Evanston.
You know, Keith, I was looking in the bulletin, and there's some really important information in here.
Oh, I know. And when I want to know what's going on at the church, I always check that bulletin. And when I want to get in touch with the church, I fill out that handy connection card.
That's right. I use that card all the time to let the church know when I need prayer or would like someone to contact me.
Well, that's perfect. Why don't you fill that one out, leave it on the pew when you're done. And you all can do that as well. Or if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
That's not all. The website is full of helpful information and resources.
We post some pretty interesting articles and links there a couple times a week, so you're definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but first there are a few more things to share with you.
Just a reminder, it's a new year and we're looking for volunteers to help in many different areas of the church.
That's right, kids on worship, children's Sunday school, and nursery are all looking for teachers and volunteers.
Also, the Food Pantry, Vacation Bible School, Hype, and Bible Times Club are looking for volunteers as well. There are many different opportunities and we look forward to what God has in store.
New life groups have started up, so make sure that you talk to Pastor Matt, Jeremy, or Jonathan for times and locations and get connected.
We also want to let you know about a community prayer event next Sunday evening.
The Muskegon Area Pastors Group and the Shoreline Pastors Group is holding a community prayer and worship event for the city.
The service starts at 5 p.m. at the corner, previously known as the Christian Science Reading Room, on the corner of 3rd and Muskegon Avenue.
The service is open to all the area churches and will be focused on prayer for the community and multicultural worship.
Finally, don't forget to mark your calendars because next week is our annual business meeting.
Woo! The annual business meeting!
What are you doing?
I'm being a loving wife and giving you some support.
Oh, thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
Anyway, there is important information on the bulletin board, so make sure you stop by and check it out.
Also, don't forget the potluck between church and the meeting.
And if you are a youth in 6th through 12th grade, talk to Joy for information about the Hype Super Bowl party coming up on February 4th. All right, that should do it for announcements, so everyone can grab a pen and take out their Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, We Are the Church.
Hey, where are your books?
I gave up on that resolution.
That was like a whole 5 minutes.
Well, resolutions are made to be broken.
Stop talking. Here's Pastor Matt.
Pastor. What? Breaking resolutions is the American way. Babe.
All right. Breaking resolutions, the American way. Very good. All right, my friends, as the ushers come forward, we're going to pray for our offering. We're going to pray for our time in the Word. While they're coming down, I need to ask of you a favor. I need to ask your forgiveness in advance, because as the bulletin, or as the video said, the bulletin is usually a great place to get reliable information. Our secretaries do a great job until occasionally the pastor messes something up. Your bulletin is going to say that the prayer gathering that they mentioned is at 6. The video said it was 5. It is 5. The reason that the bulletin is wrong is because I was wrong. Which my wife assured me was the first time ever. Nobody believes that. Before we do our prayer, here's my favor to ask, though, in all actuality. Next Sunday is going to be a big day. Could you please, if you are able, please make that just kind of one big church day for you, if you're a regular part of this fellowship, because we have our Sunday school for all ages at 9:30, worship now, of course, we have our fellowship meal, we have our business meeting, yay, I know, we love those, and then at night we have this prayer gathering at 5, and I really want to encourage you guys, it's the Pro Bowl, no one cares, just come do some prayer for our city. We have this awesome opportunity to bring multiple churches, multiple denominations, multiple ethnicities together, and there are so many things within those gatherings that can always separate and divide us, but the thing that we are standing united on is all of us love Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible is the Word of God, and we believe that prayer is truly the foundation that will change our society. We'll have a number of our elected officials there. We're going to pray for them as well, and they'll be praying with us. So just, it's a great opportunity for us as the church just to help impact our community through prayer. It starts at 5. It'll go for about an hour and a half. There's no preaching. Okay, I want that to sink in. We have like 18 pastors, and no one is preaching. Because if we preached, we would never leave. We'd be putting out like hammocks and we'd stay. But we are just gathering to pray, to worship the name of Jesus, and to do so as one body of Christ united. So 5 o'clock, I'll remind you again next week, but please, you know, make some plans for that for next Sunday, okay? Appreciate it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can boldly go before the throne, that we don't need permission, as we've said, that we can just come before you and pray. And Lord, we just thank you for the image we see in Revelation where our prayers go before you like incense, and then you in turn hurl that incense down on the earth with thunder and lightning and earthquakes. And Father, we just can't escape the fact that the world changes when we pray, not because of the power of our prayers, but because the power of our God. And so we just thank you for being a mighty and powerful God. And so as we gather this morning, as we gather next week, Father, we just lift our hearts and voices to you in prayer. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have lavished upon us. We thank you for the amazing things you have poured into our lives. Lord, as we return a small portion of that to you, we just ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it is given. Take our offerings this morning and use them to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we thank you for loving us enough to communicate your truth to us. And so, Father, we ask that our hearts be conformed more into your image as we study and apply your word into our lives. Father, as the pastor, again, I simply ask that any word that is mine would fall to the ground, and every word that is yours would take root in our hearts and just bear fruit beyond measure. So, Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, my friends. We are in this series called We Are the Church. We Are the Church. And in order to do that, we've spent the last few weeks unpacking, you know, some truth about God's kingdom. Because the church is a part of the kingdom of God. It's not the same thing. The church and the kingdom are slightly different things. And so we had to talk a little bit about what God's kingdom is. That was the first sermon of the year. We had to talk about the foundation of that kingdom last week, which is the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that we are united together as one family of God. That is the foundation of God's kingdom. And so now we get to the fun part. And as a preacher, it's always fun when God takes my great idea and says, nice try, watch this. Because originally, this was the message I was going to preach the first Sunday of this year. And then it just dawned on me that we would be here for 2 hours as I was trying to unpack all this. We had to spread it out. But I've been waiting for nearly 4 weeks to deliver this message to you guys. I'm really excited about it. I don't know if you guys are excited, but you know, I'm pretty happy. You're excited? Praise God. Okay. If anyone else is overcome with excitement, again, some of your pews are equipped with seat belts. If you reach under, if you don't have one, it just means God needs you to live a more adventurous faith. So, but as we come into this new year, of course, we've been referencing the resolutions. Did anyone make the resolution to exercise more or lose weight? Can we just be honest? A couple of us? Sherry, me and you. Okay, oh, a couple of us. Excellent. Excellent. I always love when I would go into the gyms the first 2 weeks of January. It is packed. Yeah, there's like waiting lines for the treadmills. And it's just like after 2 weeks, the curtain drops. It's like a ghost town. No one is anywhere to be found. Because it's like 2 weeks is the max we can do. And then we wind up breaking our resolutions. Isn't that amazing how that happens? How quickly the enthusiasm fades? And I think that's important for us because as we come into the life of Christ, he does not call us to an individual life. I don't know if you realize that. We emphasize, you know, as Baptists, as Christians, we emphasize that you, as an individual human being, that you need to make a choice as to what you're going to do with Jesus. Are you going to put your faith in him, or are you going to reject him? You have your whole life to figure that one out. Our encouragement is always, decide quickly. It's way better. Amen? Okay. But God does not call us into an individualized faith, where now that I have faith in Jesus Christ, now I'm done. When God calls us into faith, he calls us into a relationship with him and a relationship with other people, other believers in Jesus Christ. We call that gathering the church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, which, as I have shared with you, means a called out assembly of believers. So if I'm going to do my faith in Jesus Christ correctly, I need to do it in the context of the community of faith. And that becomes problematic. It can be very easy for us to love Jesus well with all of our hearts and to gather with his people and go, much like when we go into the gym, the enthusiasm of working out wanes quickly when we experience the reality. And sometimes when we come into the community of faith and we encounter other broken people loving and serving Jesus, our enthusiasm can wane. There's a growing demographic of people under 30 who would say that they are believers in Jesus Christ but don't want to go to church. They just want to do Jesus on their own. Me and Jesus. That's all I need. That's great, unless you read the Bible. Because Jesus Christ did not call us to an individualized faith. So this morning, we need to talk a little bit about this thing that we call the church and how it relates to the kingdom of God. Because for us as believers now in the New Testament era, we are part of the church, the big C church, the gathering of all believers for time and eternity in this thing called the church. So please join me. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. I've read kind of our key verse, which we'll get to again, which is Ephesians 3 verse 10 for this series. But today, we're going to take the whole run through the first part of Ephesians chapter 3. So if you want to turn there with me. If you missed us last week, Ephesians is a book that was written by the Apostle Paul to a church or gathering of believers in Ephesus, which was a major city, a major port city in what's now Turkey in the ancient Roman world. It's fun because when we think of Paul writing to a church, we imagine a building like this or a setting like this, but in those days it was illegal to be a Christian. You could be persecuted. Many Christians died and were martyred for their faith. And so as a result, the church was not a one central gathering like this. The church would have looked a lot like our life groups, a lot like many churches that have small groups, where a church would be, you know, anywhere from 8 to 20 people that would gather in one person's house, and they would have an elder, and they would have a deacon, and they would have some leaders. But the letter from Paul, this thing that we call Ephesians, would be passed from house to house to house to house as the believers would hear, "Hey, we got the message from Paul. He sent us a letter. You got to read it." And they would gather together and they would read the message that came. So this is part of that message. And Paul shares a little bit of his story that we talked about last week. But it says this, after we unpacked the foundations of the kingdom, which is the gospel of grace, we read these words. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles. That's why he's doing it all, for the Gentiles, the people in Ephesus. Verse 2, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. So if you were with us last week, that line that I just read, already written briefly, that was last week's sermon. He's referencing back to what we call chapter 2. Grace, salvation by grace through faith. That's the administration he's talking about. And Paul's saying, I'm telling you all of this for the following reasons. So here we go. Verse 4. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in previous generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles, or by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel and members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And so as we zoom in on this, friends, I want you to catch this because it says something very interesting where it says that previous generations, in verse 5, the previous generations, they didn't know the full story. In the Old Testament, they knew that a Messiah was coming. They knew that there would be salvation, but they didn't understand the fullness of that until Jesus Christ came in. They assumed that the Messiah was there to liberate them from political oppression, to fix their present problems. And Jesus shows up and he's like, I got a bigger problem that I'm going to fix. I'm going to fix death. I'm going to fix hell. I'm going to fix the fact that that's where you're going without me. That's a little bigger problem than your political realities. Those are important too. But Jesus made sure to take care of the eternally significant things where he would take away my sins so that I could live with him for all time and all eternity. And that revelation was finally brought forth. It was made real in the person of Jesus Christ. And now Paul is saying something amazing. He's saying it's not just for the people of Israel. It's not just for the Jews. It's for everybody. Because in the Jewish mindset, there's two groups, Jews and others, the Gentiles. And Paul is saying that he was the one who was tasked to bring the message, the gospel truth, to everyone else. That includes us. Unless you have a Jewish heritage in your life, you're a Gentile, so am I. The fact that we're here, the fact that we're hearing the message of Jesus Christ is because of what Paul and what other faithful men and women did to advance the gospel to every part of the known world, to reveal Jesus Christ to everyone. And so Paul is saying that the rest of them didn't get it, but you do. Now the message is here. It's being made known. And he goes on in verse 7, he says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. And although I am the less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. And here's our key verse. His intent was that now, not later, now. We've been in that now for 2,000 years, but that's the now that we're talking about. His intent was that right now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. As far as the reading of God's word. My friends, as we're going to understand this thing called the church and how it relates to God's kingdom, there's basically four truths that I want to pull out of this passage for us that we need to grapple with and take hold of. Okay? And here it is. Truth number one. The church really has owners, not members. Part of the reason why I think it's important for us to bring up this whole thing called gym membership is gym memberships are funny things, aren't they? I'm going to pay money so that I can go hurt myself voluntarily. If anyone else did this to me, I could charge them with a crime. But if I'm doing it to myself, we call it exercise. And I'm amazed at how many things have membership these days. I went to Walgreens and they asked, what's my member number? I'm like, I don't remember joining Walgreens. I'm here to pick up my prescription. You know, okay. For us in this day and age, even though the Bible says, yes, we are members, my friends, I want us to look at this in a little bit of a different light. Because for us, membership is kind of a trivial thing. Have you ever noticed that? I was a member of a gym for several years. I probably went less than once a month if I averaged it all out. I didn't take that membership very seriously. And here's the reason why. A membership is something that I look to for my personal benefit. What perks come with that membership? Now, the new place that opened, you can get the $10 membership, and you can just come in and hurt yourself or exercise. Or you can get the $30 membership, and you get all of the bells and whistles. You get tanning, and I don't know, I think they wax your car and walk your dog, or whatever. Whatever they do, you get all of the benefits and all of the perks. And if I go in there and say, I'm a member, where are my benefits? They'll go, right here, Mr. Sharp. There you are. There you go. Have a candy. Wait, it's an exercise place. Have a celery. There you go. But a membership in our culture is basically designed to tell me what my benefits, what my perks are, what I get out of it. The church, my friends, even though we use the term membership, is meant to be a very different thing. We do not have members. We have owners. And that's a very significantly different thing. Because if I'm a member, I'm looking at what are the benefits to me. If I'm an owner, then the question is, what am I doing to make it better? What am I doing to advance the cause? And I'm using the term owner here very intentionally. Please, check this out. Verse 6, the mystery is this, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs. Heirs. They're part of the family. My friends, the church is a family business. And if you're here as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not a member. You're one of the owners. And if I'm an owner of a business, I get up early. I do everything that I can so that this business will succeed. And I'm not looking to what's the benefit to me. I'm looking to how am I benefiting this thing that I partially own. You are a co-heir of the founder. Sorry, nepotism works backwards in God's kingdom. You don't get stuff, you give. Sorry. That's the way that it works. The church has owners. We don't look to what our benefit is. We look to how we benefit those we serve. Because there's a world of people that have not embraced the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And if I sit here and I hold my membership and say, give me the benefit, they go to hell. That is not okay. If I stand here and say, I'm one of the owners, I'm part of the family, I need to get them to join the family too. I need to advance the mission to them so that they can benefit. Then my mindset is in the correct order. It's not what benefits me. How do I benefit them? The church has owners, not members, my friends. If you're here saying, I'm a Gentile, I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ, that's what we're signing up for. How do I live to benefit those that aren't even here? That's truth number one. If anyone needs to grab the seatbelt now, now is the time. There's three more coming. Truth number two. The church unleashes the gospel. Again, if you keep reading this, in verse 7 it says, I became the servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which says basically there's this whole revelation of Jesus Christ. There's this message of grace, the foundation of the kingdom that we were talking about last week. And Jesus said, it's your job. It is the church's job. It's my job. It's your job to say, I need to unleash the gospel message to everyone that I can. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. The church unleashes the gospel. And I just love that image of just, you know, the images of people. This is where they throw you out of a perfectly good plane. What's that called again? Skydive. That's the nice word for it. Crazy is the correct word. But it's fun. And I just love that idea of they're just kind of unleashed from that plane and thrown out to say, hope it works, go for it. There you go. And they do it more than once. But my friends, that's the idea for us as we are unleashing God's grace, is that we're just jumping out of the plane saying, I've got to do this. It may be absolutely terrifying to me, but I've got to unleash the gospel message into this world. Now, my friends, I want to share with you a verse that makes me pause and really reflect on my life, because it's very uncomfortable. Okay, are you ready? Seatbelt if you need it. Here's the uncomfortable verse. Listen to this. Instead, this again is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians. We, talking about himself and his fellow workers for Christ, we endure everything so that we will not hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, my behavior either unleashes the gospel or it hinders the gospel. There is no third option. I am either unleashing it or I'm hindering it, and that scares me to death. I know that the message will go out to everyone. God will get his message out there. But as for me, as a member, as an owner of the church, I'm either unleashing it or hindering it. What are you doing? Are you unleashing the gospel or are you hindering it? P.S., you're probably doing both. I do. In those moments when we become aware of the fact that this thing that I said, this thing that I did, this thing I didn't do or didn't say or whatever is hindering the gospel going forth, that part of my life dies. Because I don't want to do anything that will hinder the gospel. And look at the words, that they will endure everything. Why? So that the gospel goes out. The church unleashes the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. The church is not the same thing as the kingdom of God. The church is the agency that moves the kingdom forward by unleashing the gospel to everyone. That's what we do. We either unleash it or we hinder it. The third truth about the kingdom that we need to share is that the church, I love this one. I shared it with you last week. Here's unpacking that. The church has a cosmic focus. You see, my friends, if we come into the church and we have the membership mindset, we forget this one. If we come into the church thinking it's all about the benefit to me, we miss this. Check out verse 10. I've said this before. We've been in it a couple times, but here it is. God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to whom? to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. My friends, the scholars would say that means one of two things. Paul was either talking about the emperor of Rome, and was using some very lofty language, so like the rulers of this world. That's what one set of scholars believe. I disagree with that, but some scholars say that. The rest of the scholars, the ones I agree with, say that this is referring to the spiritual beings that are in the universe. God, his angels, the demons, Satan, all of those spiritual beings, the wisdom of God is being revealed to all of us, including them. Our job, the mission of God, the church, has a cosmic focus. And here it is. If I could put it in one word, it would be this, or one phrase. Our job is to make Jesus famous. Our job is to make Jesus famous. And I don't know if you've been around famous people, but famous people are really kind of a peculiar breed. Everyone wants to be with them. You ever notice that? There's a famous person. I want to go see what they have to say. I want to take their picture, sign their autograph. It's our job to make Jesus famous in all of the world. In all the world. That's our job. All the universe. Make Jesus famous. And I love that cosmic focus because it puts everything else into the proper perspective, doesn't it? Because if we accomplish that job, making Jesus famous to the entire world, then put your issue underneath it and see how it lines up. We have seen someone who was far away from God, living a life of brokenness and sin and evilness. They repented. They pushed their trust in Jesus Christ. They began a new life. They are a new person. And we sang my favorite song. A life that was shattered by sin and degradation has been put back together. The family that's been lost has been comforted by the Holy Spirit, and I got to sit in my favorite chair. Isn't it amazing how suddenly the things that we get really worked up about are less important, isn't it? And don't get me wrong, I like my favorite spot. I like my favorite songs. Those are good things. They minister to us, I know. But we have to put all of our things, all of our member benefits, under the cosmic mission of the church. That's where it goes. Yeah, if we sang our favorite song, that's awesome. But what's the mission? The mission is Jesus, making him famous. Making him famous. My friends, I have one more truth that I need to share with you, because I hope, as you've heard me, and as I've been wrestling with this passage now for almost a month, I hope that there's a level of impressing on our hearts the significance of this thing we call the church and where it fits into the scheme of God's kingdom. And I hope it's a little bit overwhelming, because if the church is about me and my membership perks, it's easy to do church. Just keep everybody happy. If the church is about proclaiming Jesus and making him famous to the world, unleashing the gospel, and it's my job to do it because I'm one of the owners, I hope that's a little bit overwhelming, because there's no way you can do it, and there's no way I can do it, and there's really no way that we can do it together on our own. No way at all. That's why the fourth important truth is this, that the church does have unlimited resources, and it's right at the end of our section. Check this out. According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I love this, my friends, because what that passage is saying is that we can boldly go to the one being in all the universe that has everything we need to do the job that he has called us to, which for us is absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. But because of our connection with him, we have unlimited resources. This is a passage from Revelation, and I love it. This is the church of Philadelphia getting a letter from Jesus where he says, I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close because you have but little power. And I love that. The Church of Philadelphia is being told by God, you're wimps, you're weaklings, you got nothing, you have no power at all. But in the mind of Christ, that is not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Because look, he's placed before them the open door that no one can close. So when the church has little power, they have no hope, except for Jesus. Because the very next thing that he says is that, yet you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. And so here's this little weakling church that can't do anything on its own. And yet God is saying that they have kept his word and they have kept the name of Jesus Christ. And because of those things, he has put before them a door that cannot be closed, no matter how hard anyone may try. The gospel in the Church of Philadelphia was unleashed and it was unstoppable because of these two very simple things. They kept the word of the Lord and they kept his name. They boldly approached him with confidence through faith, as Paul is saying here in Ephesians, and the result was the door was open. And I love this image. This is the image that comes to mind. Who knows what that is? It's a dam, yes, a very specific one. Hoover. Never been there. Never been there at all. But I love this image because, you know, we always see in how many movies have been made where there's the dam that breaks and there's a huge, you know, torrent of water that wipes everything out. I get that. That's a terrifying thing to think about. But I want us in this context to look at it. This is what the church is like. Behind us is this magnitude of power that could wipe out the world or transform it forever. It's God. These unlimited resources. And we have the opportunity just to unleash it, just to open the door and to let all of those resources flow through us. The church has unlimited resources. When we stand up there and we say, hey, we're a church, guess what? We have a budget crisis right now. That's scary. It really is. It's a scary thing. My God didn't get any smaller, though. We still have all the resources piled up behind us. And as long as this church exists, as long as I and the elders have breath in our body, we will never let go of the word of Jesus Christ. Amen? We will never deny his name. Amen? And as a result, the power of God can be unleashed through this church. And so when we look at these things that are scary to us and we realize we feel really weak right now, good. Good. The only hope this church has is Jesus Christ. Only hope this church has is Jesus Christ. And do we think for a second that he would take a church that feels weak and make them just go? No. No, no, no. Jesus Christ wants to do amazing and great things through this church. Not because we are great by any means, but he is. And we are a part of this cosmic mission to make Jesus Christ famous, to proclaim and unleash the gospel into the world and to see lives transformed. And my friends, it is up to you. It is up to me. Why? Because we are the church. Let's pray. Father, we are your church. We are your gathering of believers. We are the ones that you have called out, not because we are great, but, Father, because your love and your mercy and your grace is great. And so, Father, as co-heirs into your family, as people given the opportunity to unleash the gospel and to make you famous in all the world and all the cosmos, Father, we just acknowledge that we need your divine power to make that happen. So, Father, we ask your Spirit to move through us, to fill our hearts to overflowing so that the world around us may know how great and how good our God is. So we love you and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. My friends, we are the church. We are loved and we are called together by God. And one of the greatest things we can do is stand and worship in prayer and just say, Lord, we need you. You're all we've got. So would you join us? Would you please make this part of your prayer and part of your worship this morning? We just come and confess. In him we find the rest that we need and all that we stand in need of.
Lord, I come.
This week, we ask you to give us boldness to step out and tell those around us, Lord, that you are coming. Lord, we don't want anyone to perish. Lord, we don't want anyone to go to hell. Lord, give us boldness this week because behold, you come. You are riding on the clouds. You're coming back for your church. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of God.
days of your servant Moses, righteousness we restore. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
So are the days of Ezekiel.
And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring Jehovah. There's no God like 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 Jehovah.
He comes. Amen?
Amen.
Well, in the event that he does not come back today, I want to give you this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be merciful unto you, and in all things give you peace. My friends, go from this place as the Church of Jesus Christ and proclaim the glory, the majesty, and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
My friends, if there's anything I can pray with you about or pray for you about, I'll be right up front. Love to chat with you. But in the meantime, go in God's peace and advance his kingdom.